Open your Bibles to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Be staying in the book of Ephesians today. Ephesians chapter 5. We live, and most of us would agree, if you're a Bible scholar at all and know much about the Bible, you got any age on you at all, you can see how things have changed. You'd have to agree that we're living in the latter days of the last days. The Bible calls it the latter end. Said during that time there would be many seducing spirits. A lot of things would be changing. The homes would be changing. Our homes would, the Bible said they'd be marrying and giving in marriage. They'd be building, eating, drinking. If our grandparents could see the amount of money that we spend on going out and eating, they'd say, no wonder you're in the shape you're in. When we look and we see, I mean, have you ever stopped to just imagine how much money in this day and time that we put forth to eat? Brother Junior, I'll pick on you. You're on front row. When you were growing up, how many times did you all go out to a restaurant and eat?
Can't remember.
Times have changed. It's amazing the difference. The Bible also tells us that not only people, families, countries, but the church will also change. We understand the seven churches of Asia, and the last church age will be a church of Laodicea. The first one, as a matter of fact, was the church of Ephesus, the church that Ephesians was written to. It was the one that was represented as the apostles, the church of the apostles. Laodicea is one that's represented as the latter end, lukewarm, those that will be spewed out of his mouth. So we're living in an age where there's going to be you can find a lot of fault in the church. You can talk to a lot of people and say, why don't you come to church? Amazing thing is you can't even get your own members to come. But you talk to people and you say, why don't you come to church? And they begin to pick apart. Well, so-and-so, this, that, this, this. Let me let you in on a secret. There is no perfect church. Because it's made up of, the church is called out assembly, ecclesia. Called out of what? Called out of sin, called out of the world, called out of the snatches of Satan's domain. But yet we are saved by grace, imperfect. We was talking about this morning in the book of Hebrews. We're there in Sunday school, chapter 12. To every son that the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And I made mention of this. The very best sons that he has, he still chastens, because even the very best fails and has to be corrected. My point is this. There's a lot that you can find wrong with the church. But there's a lot of good things of the church. And this morning, I want to share with you, and I've preached on something similar to this one time, but I want to preach about the mystery of the church and the good things of the church. Even in the time, as we see time approaching, the writer of Hebrews, if it was Paul or whoever, said in chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, as the manner of some is. But even so much more as you see the day approaching, as you see the Lord coming, his coming nearing, ought to be for more reason to attend church. Can I tell you parents something? Not only do you need church, but your kids need church. Look, if you would, begin reading with me, if you would, in verse number 22, chapter 5. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now notice verse 32, that's where we're going to preach from. Says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. When the Bible wanted to explain the mystery of the church, he did it by using the illustration of the husband and wife. And it was a mystery. And this morning I want to give you five or six things about the mystery of the church. Why it's still good. First of all, we go back to the very mystery of the beginning of the church. In Ephesians, if you would, turn back, if you would, to chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. It says in verse 3, it says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath what? Chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. One thing that makes the mystery of the church very special is the fact that God chose to have a church from the foundation of the world before there was ever a man created. God already intended on the church being here. You got that? That's part of the mystery of the church. Not only that, but look in verse number 5. So it was planned by God. Notice in verse 5. Chapter 1, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by who? Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us acceptable in the what? In other words, not only was it planned by God himself, it was purchased by Jesus. Jesus made the church possible. God planned it. Jesus purchased it by his blood. He gave himself. He loved the church. People said, well, I don't think you have to go to church. Do you understand how much Jesus loved the church? He purchased the church. So when you think of the mystery of the church, you think it was planned by God and it was purchased by Jesus. Look on in chapter 1, verse 13. He says, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were what? Sealed with what? The Holy Spirit of promise, which is our earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Not only was a church planned by God, not only was a church purchased by Jesus, but it is possessed by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. I believe in this day and time, more than ever, there's a whole lot of people in the church that's going to die and go to hell. That's not saved. But even Jesus, when he began the church, and he went out in Mark chapter 3, and he took 12 people up to the mountain, and he ordained those 12 people and began his church and began to meet from house to house, he had a devil in the midst from the very beginning. The Bible says from the beginning, Judas was a devil. He knew who he was. He knew he would be betrayed. He said that he's not lost none out of his hand, that God's not lost one, no one's plucked him out of his hand, except Judas. And from the beginning, he was a devil, and it was planned that way. It's already written that he would betray him for 30 pieces of silver. It's already told who and what he would be. But there's a lot of people in the church. It's sort of like the ones that Brother Junior was talking about. He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And sometimes some of us are going to be shocked when we see some people turned away at the great white throne judgment of God that we thought were saved the whole time. If you're part of the church, you're part of the plan of God, you've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, and you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's part of the mystery. Now look at the membership, if you would, of the church. Look in chapter 2. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened, that means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also all had us. In chapter 2, verse 3, we all had us passed in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, of the mind, were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. In other words, I want you to understand that he has made this membership out of a bunch of sinners. You got nothing to boast of. The mystery of the church included you, and you were brought into the church not because you were so good. You were sinners. How in the world do we get into church? Continue reading in chapter 10, verse 4. But God, who is rich in what? Mercy for his great what? Love, wherein he loved us, even wherein we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are what? It was by the grace of God that we are saved. He goes on, he says in verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In other words, when we get to heaven, you've heard me say this many times, when we get to heaven, what everybody's going to declare in heaven when we're all there and the angels stand back and look at the church and see what God has done with a bunch of sinners, it's going to declare the glory of his grace. Because the angels sees us, they know us, they saw us before we got saved, they've seen us after we got saved, they've seen our actions, they continue sending messages back and forth, they see what we're all about, and yet they don't understand how it is that God can take an old sinner and save him. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be the trophies of grace. And therefore, God's going to put us on display. We're going to sing songs to Jesus. Amen. And I've said this many times. This idea that we're going to get up there and praise mom and dad and uncle and pastor this and pastor is foolishness. There's going to be one person that's going to be mentioned in the Psalms. That's going to be the Lamb of God. And we're going to praise His name and lift His name up. And every song that's sung throughout eternity is going to be to His praise. We're not going to lift up praise to anybody else. You say, well, how about those that's done good works, that's earned all the rewards? When we see Jesus, everything that we've earned, we're going to take off and we're going to lay at His feet and we're going to cast our crowns at His feet.
Amen.
He's going to have all of our crowns. You know why? Because if it wasn't for Him, there's not a one of us would make it up there. That's the mystery of the church. Somebody said, well, you just got a bunch of old sinners in that church. Amen. Saved by the grace of God. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Like I said, even the best of His sons, He says He chastens all who He loves. You know why He included all? Because every one of us is unable to do it ourselves. And every one of us will fail even after we get saved. Every one of us needs taken to the woodshed every now and then. Every one of us. Now, so we have sinners saved by the grace of God. Look on, if you would, in verse number 8. He goes on and continues that. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not yourself. It is a gift of God. Chapter 2, verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, God takes a bunch of old sinners. He saves them by His grace, and then He gives them a job to do. Are they going to do it perfectly? No. That's why there's no perfect church. Every church is going to have failures. And you say, and I've had people tell me, well, I'm just as good as old so-and-so in the church. I said, well, what if they die and go to hell? Does that mean you want to go die and go to hell with them? I said, you got to understand, everybody who says they're saved, not saved. But I want you to know, the thing that's wonderful about the mystery of the church is that God's took a bunch of old sinners from the very foundation of the world, before anything was created, He knew that He would save a bunch of old sinners and bring them into the church. And then He would commission them to do His work. So not only is the membership a tremendous mystery and blessing and good, But the message that we are to preach, the Bible says that the gospel, there in Ephesians, He said that we were saved by the gospel, believing the gospel. Look in verse 13 again, chapter 1. In whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. The message that the church has got, it's a powerful one. The Bible says, For the preaching of the cross is of them that perish foolishness. But to those who believe is the power of God unto salvation. It's a powerful message to those who will believe. You know what it'll do? It'll transform you. It'll save your soul if you believe in it. Amen. The Bible says that the gospel is a power of God unto salvation. If you've ever got saved, it's because the message that the church has been left to preach. Somebody said, well, old preacher so-and-so, I believe in what he says. Well, I like old preacher so-and-so. He said, let me let you in on a secret. The only power that anybody's got is the word of God. Anything else they add to that has no power. The power is in the word. The gospel is a message. Nobody, listen to me, this idea of creating new ways and new forms and new fashions of and new messages of getting people saved is baloney. There's only one message. And the mystery of the church is that we preach the gospel of Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. No one is saved apart from that message. And when we quit preaching that message, then we've lost our mission or our message in life. Amen. We no longer have a message. And you know the wonderful thing about the message? It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, red, yellow. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you're male, female. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, poor. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or non-educated. It doesn't matter. Whosoever will, let him come. Thank God we can preach a message that there's not a person here that that message is not for. We can send people all across the world like we do in back there. Those letters are messages all around the world, and people preaching the same message we're preaching right now. And that's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's a message for the whole world. Isn't that good to know? And listen, when the church somebody said, I don't think you have to go to church. Well, let me ask you this. How are you getting the message out into the world? What are you doing to spread that message? The message was given to the mission of the world. The mission was given to the church. You know what their mission was? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so therefore, we have been given the message. And it's such a comforting message. So the Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 37, that those that come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Isn't it good to know? And it's still today. Somebody said, we're not seeing many people saved. Nope. But we're still preaching the same message. The problem with people getting saved today is the devil has been successful in destroying that message and hindering people from hearing that message. The Bible puts it this way. He's blinded their eyes to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have the right message. We don't need to quit and change the message. Somebody told me a while back, and it wasn't in church, but somebody from another church told me, said, preacher, said, if you'd build a gym and have activities for the kids on Wednesday night, it'd be a sight how much it would increase your attendance on Wednesday night. I said, what message is that sending? What message are we preaching there? I'd love to have a gym. I'd love to have it for the school, and I'd love to have it for that. And I told some of the boys the other day, some of them talked about playing softball. I said, I don't care a bit for you getting a team playing softball. But there's a place and a time for everything. During the time when we meet for church, it's not the time to play softball, nor play basketball, nor to play hopscotch. All those things has their place. When we get together here, we have a purpose. It's to preach.
Amen.
The message.
Right.
You know why we preach the message? Because the message is intended to see lost sinners get saved. And by the way, listen to me, those of you who are saved. Everybody listen to me just a minute. Everybody listen very carefully. Young people too. When you're sitting here in this church, and I don't know that any of you do, I don't know any that you don't. Nobody's told me nothing, but I'm just going to say this. When you're sitting in this church and the preaching's going on, you need to be attentive.
Amen.
You need to be very careful about two or three things. Talking, cutting, carrying on, because you might have somebody beside you that's not saved. And would you want to be the one that hinders them from listening to the message? And I'm going to tell you something else. When you see somebody comes, and I've seen this happen before, I've seen people come here that people's requested prayer for, that they asked that we would remember them in prayer, because they were lost, need to be saved. And the first thing that happens when they come here is somebody dumps a baby in their lap. Be smart. Be wise. The third thing is this. I don't know any of you, but don't have your phones out. This is not the time to play on phones. You got all the time in the world to play on your phones. This is not the place and time. Don't distract people. If you're saved, you ought to want other people to be saved. And yes, I know we're not seeing many people saved during this time, but we're not the only ones. I talk to everybody. I don't hardly hear anybody ever seeing people saved anymore, which ought to let you know that's a sign of the times. People's not heeding a message. But if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you're not going to heaven. And unless you hear the message and heed to it and respond to it, you will not go to heaven. There's one way going to heaven. That's through Jesus. Somebody said, well, let's make everything positive. Jesus didn't make it positive when he preached. You can't put your head in sand and act like there's not a hell. Somebody said, well, I never hear hell mentioned anymore. You know why? Because people's quit preaching about it because people say, well, it offends them, and they don't like to think about it. I don't like to think about it either. But I definitely don't like to think about people I love dying and going there. The mission is to preach to sinners. The mission also is to edify the saints. We are to edify each other. We're to encourage each other. We're to help each other. Everybody here needs some help. The reason why God's mystery is so tremendously great is because God saw the fact that when we get saved, we need each other to help each other. I mean, just like Kimberly, the thing we read from Kimberly and Caleb. Isn't it nice to have a church family that cares enough to pray for you? Stuart, wasn't it nice to have a church family that cared enough to make you a few meals here and there and help you out? And if they saw you had a need, somebody walked up and tried to help your need a little bit? And how many of us, has it not been an encouragement to have somebody love you and help you and pray for you when you're going through some rough times? That's the mystery of the church. The church family is such a great family. Is it perfect? No. Whoever's got a perfect family, a personal family, go ahead and stand up. But when we get a church together, it's not perfect either. If we want to sit around and pick apart, that's why Paul said, above all things, put on what? You know why? Charity covereth the multitude of sins. You're able to overlook things when you love somebody enough. You don't cast them aside. We're to edify saints. You know what else the church is supposed to do, his mission? Exalt the Savior. Exalt Jesus. The Bible says we make him preeminence. There's one head of this church. It's not me. It's Jesus. Somebody said, well, I'll pattern after you. Don't pattern after me. Pattern after him. Man, I'll fail you. I'll let you down. He won't. He's a perfect example. He's all in all. He's altogether wonderful, lovely, beautiful. He is a name above all other names. I want you to understand, there's something wonderful about the Savior. That's why when I preach, I don't preach Billy Miller and I don't preach you. That's why sometimes people say, well, I want you to say this and this. I had a funeral the other day and somebody done wrote everything out. Wanted me to tell what they wanted me to say. If you want to say it, get up and say it. But my job is not to sit and glorify Brother Junior. Now, I think it's good when he leaves a testimony, and I can leave that testimony and share that testimony. But there's one to be praised even at funerals.
Amen.
If there's any good thing to say, it's because of Jesus. And so we have one to exalt. And when you get up here to sing a song, when you get up here to give a testimony, get up here and preach a message, whatever it may be, you need to understand this. There's only one to be exalted.
Amen.
You know what's happening to so many churches? Too many people in their own church want to be exalted. There's only one to be exalted.
Amen.
And by the way, can I say this? Get this. There's one exalted, one head, and everybody else here is on level ground. You may have a different job and responsibility in church, but we're all the same level. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. No big eyes and little U's. It's all little U's looking at one big eye. And that big eye is Jesus. Now let me say this before I close. Two more things that's wonderful about the church. The hope we have. He's coming. That's my hope. You say, this world is getting terrible. Yeah, but he's coming.
Yep.
Oh, this world, evil just keeps continuing growing. Evil men wax worse and worse. Yeah, but he's coming. And when he comes, he's going to set some things right. He'll establish a kingdom. He'll reign it, rule it with a rod of iron. He's coming. You say, oh, I miss mom, dad. Well, if they're saved, when he comes, he's bringing them back with him. There'll be a great reunion in there. The church has such a great hope. Isn't it good to have a hope? Our blessed hope, the return of Jesus Christ. And can I say this? Not only do we have a great hope, but what a blessed home we've got to go to. When it all gets said and done, no more pain, death, parting, no more sorrow, sickness,
right.
No more tears. We shall be satisfied. What a home we're going to. In a body where we never grow old.
Amen.
Somebody said, We're old. I said, no, we're just growing older all the time. Until someday when we're called. But we're going to a place where we never grow old. Folks, there's some tremendous things about the church. And so who would not want to be a part of this great mystery that God has done from the foundation of the world? And when he finishes up, we're going to be, I'm going to use Martin here, I'm going to pick on him. You got any failures or shortcomings, Martin, at all? Do you? Anybody else know about them? A few people knows about them, don't they? When the Lord finishes up with this guy, there'll not be one spot, one wrinkle, no sin, nothing. Perfection. As Jesus, so will he be. If he's been washed by the blood. And not only him, but everybody here. That's the great mystery of the church. That he could take a bunch of old sinners,
amen,
sold to sin, and make them reigning saints that has no sin. When we get home, he'll have it all waiting for us. Thank God. Amen. Let's stand.